What happens when a middle-aged writer, comfortable in his sedentary life, suddenly decides to hike the Appalachian Trail? The answer involves far more than blisters and breathtaking views. This journey becomes a masterclass in humility, friendship, and rediscovering what it means to be fully alive. Standing in the woods behind his New Hampshire home, staring at a trail marker pointing toward Georgia, Bill Bryson makes an impulsive decision that will push him far beyond anything he imagined. The Appalachian Trail, 2,200 miles of unforgiving wilderness, beckons with both promise and peril. What follows is an adventure that transforms suffering into wisdom and two out-of-shape friends into unlikely heroes of their own story. The outdoor equipment store overwhelms with technical jargon. Salesman Dave Mengel spouts terms like 70 denier high-density abrasion-resistant fly with ripstop weave. Each item spawns more accessories. Backpacks need rain covers. Water filters need backup systems. Soon, Bryson has accumulated enough gear to employ a veil of Sherpas. Bear research only deepens his anxiety. Make noise or stay quiet? Play dead for grizzlies but fight black bears? Or was it reversed? Every expert contradicts the last. Then Stephen Katz calls, an old traveling companion offering to join. Bryson accepts immediately, perhaps too quickly. At the airport, Katz appears dramatically transformed, significantly overweight, red-faced, claiming he needs hourly Snickers bars to prevent seizures. His backpack resembles a mobile yard sale, with sneakers and cooking equipment dangling from every strap. These two middle-aged men, armed with too much gear and too little sense, are about to discover what the wilderness really demands. The Appalachian Trail announces itself immediately. Starting in 11F cold, Bryson and Katz face Frosty Mountain's relentless incline. Within hours, Bryson discovers the constant, dispiriting discovery that there is always more hill. Their pack weight and abysmal fitness transform the hike into hell. Katz reaches the summit hours later, near collapse, having thrown much of his food over a cliff in exhaustion. Their romantic wilderness vision crumbles as they eat Snickers bars for dinner, filtering coffee through toilet paper. Then comes Mary Ellen, perhaps the trail's most irritating character. She criticizes their gear, exaggerates her prowess, and performs disgusting Eustachian tube clearings. When she eats Katz's treasured hostess cupcake without permission, it's the final straw. They hike 14 determined miles to escape her, a distance unimaginable days earlier. The southern section delivers more trials. A blizzard on Big Butt Mountain forces them across a treacherous 16-inch ledge with an 80-foot drop, all covered in ice. Desperate and trapped, they discover trail magic, unexpected kindness from strangers who share their shelter. These early trials strip away pretensions, revealing both their limitations and unexpected determination. The Great Smoky Mountains harbor 1,500 wildflower species, 530 mosses and lichens, and 130 native trees. Bryson and Katz experience none of it. 4 days of relentless rain turn the trail into a muddy river, soaking their gear and turning shelters into cramped spaces with snoring strangers. Fleeing to Gatlinburg's pancake houses, they study a trail map and make a devastating discovery. Weeks of effort covered only 2 inches of the 4-foot map. They've hiked hundreds of miles, but barely scratched the 2,200-mile trail. This moment liberates rather than crushes. Freed from completing every mile, they skip to Virginia's Blue Ridge, where gentler terrain promises better hiking. Their journey transforms from rigid thru-hike to something personal, meaningful encounters with chosen sections. They'd walked 500,000 steps and didn't need the other 4.5 million to get the idea. Sometimes abandoning an impossible goal opens the door to something equally valuable. Virginia's Blue Ridge Mountains deliver spectacular views and forgiving terrain. Bryson feels genuinely transformed, springy and fit, with a flatter stomach than he'd had in years. For the first time, hiking feels less like suffering and more like adventure. He describes what he calls a gentle descent into squalor. First day, mildly grubby. Second day, disgustingly so. Third day, beyond caring. Fourth day, forgetting cleanliness ever existed. Hunger follows the same progression, from desperate starvation to eating mechanically because it's mealtime. The trail strips away civilization's veneer, exposing more fundamental human rhythms. At shelters, they encounter fumbling Boy Scouts, swift solo trekkers, and old-timers reminiscing about emptier trails. Despite estimates of 3 to 4 million annual hikers, the trail remains remarkably empty, about 7.5 people per mile during peak season. The real issue isn't overcrowding, but too few shelters, just 240 along the entire trail. Their pleasant rhythm is shadowed by sobering news. Weeks after their passage through a beautiful Shenandoah glade, two young women would be murdered there in their tents, a jarring reminder that danger on the trail doesn't always come from nature. After 500 miles together, Bryson and Katz part ways in Front Royal, Virginia. Katz returns to Des Moines for construction work while Bryson tackles other obligations. Bryson's solo attempts disappoint. Day hiking various sections by car feels hollow. In Pennsylvania, notorious among hikers as where boots go to die for its jagged stone slabs, he drives 350 miles over 4 days to walk just 11 miles. The Appalachian Trail demands forward momentum, not sporadic visits. Without cuts, the narrative broadens. Bryson visits Centralia, Pennsylvania, a ghost town abandoned after an underground coal fire ignited in 1962 and still burns today. He reflects on geological deep time. The Appalachians once rivaled the Himalayas, now worn down over eons. He examines environmental challenges facing America's wilderness. This middle passage deepens the book's contemplative dimension. The trail emerges as more than a physical path. It's a living thread through America's natural and cultural history, connecting us to wilderness in an increasingly developed nation. When Katz returns for Maine's 100-mile wilderness, 99.7 miles without civilization, neither has maintained trail fitness. They abandon cooking equipment, surviving on Snickers, raisins, and Slim Jims. The Maine woods feel ominous, darker, more black than green. The brutal terrain strains their friendship when Katz, struggling with sobriety, drinks beer in Monson and demands more. The pivotal moment arrives on the barren Chairback Range when they separate. Bryson spends an anxious night imagining Katz lost and waterless. Reunited, Katz admits he'd gotten lost chasing a lake, wandering, disoriented, before miraculously finding the trail. This frightening experience prompts honesty. "You want to go home?" Bryson asks. "Yeah, I do," Katz replies. "Me too." They hitch to Milo. Bryson calculates he's hiked only 870 miles, 39.5% of the AT, yet that's still New York to beyond Chicago. Katz offers perspective. "As far as I'm concerned, I hiked the Appalachian Trail. I hiked it in snow and heat, in the south and north. I hiked it till my feet bled." Their incomplete journey represents profound victory. The trail's gift isn't measured in miles, but in transformed perspective. The greatest achievement isn't reaching the destination, but having courage to begin.